Hey, you. Yes, you. Listening to the Aggressive Life podcast right now. We need your help to take this show to the next level. One of the ways that you can do that is by leaving a rating and review whenever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. Your ratings and reviews go a long way in putting the show in front of new people. So to say thanks, we have something just for you. That would be to say thanks for you actually leaving a review. You can do that and then shoot an email to Dirt with your mailing address and we'll send you a postcard and Aggressive Life sticker. It's all honor system, so leave those reviews, shoot that email, and you'll get something sweet in your mailbox. Let us know at dirt@briantome.com. That's your real
email. That's my new email address.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. dirt@briantome.com. Let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Aggressive Life. What is your superpower? Do you know that you may actually have one? Do you know how to leverage it? Well, today we're going to get behind the curtain and try to answer that question. And we're going to talk about a loaded word in the process. The word is anointing. It's a term I've shied away from for quite some time because I've seen it used to abuse people. I've seen it used to justify bad behavior. It's one of those hyper-religious-y spiritual words that I find that some people who use it have no clue about it and actually don't even have an anointing, or at least not the one that they think they do. But the problem is, whether I have baggage or not, there's no way around it. When you can name and leverage your anointing, your life levels up, you find more success, and you save yourself a lot of headaches. At the beginning of 2023, I did a training during my day job with the 350 staff members I lead on understanding and leveraging anointing. And we've been sitting on it a while, but now feels like a great time to bring it out of the vault, or at least Dirt feels like it's a great time
to bring it out.
Dirt, how do you make these decisions?
No better time than right now.
Right. Why'd you decide this?
Well, I felt like it was a great compliment to our discussion with Rick Warren, who talked about purpose. And I think this, what you teach, kind of helps level up what Rick started to teach, takes it to a different level.
Yep. I don't have as many plaque man sayings.
You have less plaque man sayings.
He is the plaque man.
He is.
Every sentence Rick Warren says is, let's put that on a plaque. That's really good. I'm not saying he has teeth that need brushed. I'm talking
different
about, yeah different right. plaque. So in this training, you're going to hear me talk about how anointing isn't a position, it's an action, how anointing impacts who is on your team, and how anointing doesn't drive you to worship yourself. It actually drives you to worship God. You'll hear me talk about this in the context of ministry because I'm addressing a room full of church staffers, but the aggressive truths here will push everything in your life, whether your life is on payroll, some spiritual organization, on payroll for a nonprofit, on payroll for a Fortune 50 corporation, on payroll for your own startup you've done, whatever it is, I'm telling you, this stuff, when you understand this stuff, everything levels up and goes forward, your job, your relationships, your hobbies, and more. So a few weeks back, we had hosted Rick, as Dirt just talked about. Awesome. He's great, great, great. Here's my take on the other side of the same coin. Let's get to it. It's time to talk anointing. What is anointing? 1 John 2, verse 7 says this, "But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you." The anointing you receive from him abides in you. So this is not an Old Testament word only. This is not a Pentecostal church word only. This is not a way for somebody to preserve their seniority position only. This is something that that John is writing to his believers. His anointing resides in you. I've shied away from this word until I was about 35 when I started to understand this word, because the word was always abused. It was always used in an abusive situation. It was used by some pastor who
calls himself or herself the anointed and says, don't lift your hand against God's anointed, meaning don't tell me anything I don't want to hear, meaning don't challenge my authority. It's kind of a get out of jail free card for bad behavior. That's not what anointing is. The word anointing, I think, goes, it's closely synonymous, though not exactly synonymous, with things like your gifts, your talents, anointing. It's in the same discussion, but I don't think it's exactly the same. But those are pretty close synonyms. Psalm 51, 11 to 12 is an Old Testament verse on anointing. Here's what David says. This is David, by the way. When he gives this, it's pretty unanimously understood that by scholars that this is a prayer in his prayer journal after he has been busted for having an adulterous affair with Bathsheba and then killing his friend, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And as he's kind of in spiritual banishment, he says this, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. What does he mean when he says, take not your Holy Spirit from me? Some Christians would believe this means that you can lose your salvation or that the Holy Spirit will flee from you. I don't believe that's what's meant here. The Holy Spirit as a means of salvation was not known in the Old Testament time. The Holy Spirit wasn't filling believers. So he's not talking here about salvation. What he's talking about is his position, his anointed position as a king of Israel. And so what he's saying is, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and would anoint people for a specific task. And what he's saying is, God, I hope I haven't screwed up things so badly right now that I'm not going to be able to perform my duties. I hope you're not taking away this calling you have in my life. Don't do it. Please don't do it. What is an anointing? Anointing is this. An anointing isn't a position so much as it is an action. Anointing isn't a position. Anointing is more of an action. David isn't really saying, I don't want to lose the kingship. When he talks about renewing the joy of my salvation, he's talking about being in line with the movement of God. He's talking about being in sync with what God's doing. When he did his anointing, when he was operating in his anointing, he sensed the presence of God, and onward he would go. And he's saying, man, I want to feel that closeness with you, God. I want to be moving with you. When you start to understand your anointing, it's not that you become more productive in ministry, though you do. I'll talk about that in a moment. What's so beautiful about it is there's a synchronicity you feel with the heart of God that you don't feel when you're doing anything else. There's a vibing with God. There's an abiding relationship that happens that's really cute, really beautiful. But he's not necessarily anointed to be king, though he is king. There is another term, the word anointing. You know, Samuel anoints him with oil when it's official. You know, you are the king. But it's really the actions that he does. Let me ask you this. What do you think David is anointed for? If it's an action, what is it that he is anointed for? Killing things. That's what he's anointed for. Killing things. Some people say it more nicely. They say, well, he's a warrior. Okay, what do warriors do? They kill things. He's anointed for that. But when he goes against Goliath, it's a pretty fascinating discussion here. When he goes before Goliath, he's a shepherd boy. He comes up to see Goliath. One of the verses that doesn't get preached about ever when we talk about David and Goliath is he says to Saul, he says, what will be done for the man who kills Goliath? He's motivated for some reward. No one ever wants to talk about that. We think we should just do things because it's a nice thing to do. David's actually motivated for reward. He goes, well, what should be done for the man? And why does he ask this? Because he knows he's got Goliath dead. Because he says, I've watched sheep, bears come out, I kill them, lions come out, I kill them, going against a tall guy here, no problem. He's a warrior, that's what he does. The nation of Israel takes off under his leadership because he knows how to lead them in a battle because he is a warrior. And there's these really, really strange little things in David's life that don't make sermons, but I'll give you another one here. And just so you HR ladies know, this is in the Bible, okay? So as I give this one, it's actually in the Bible. And I'm not going to try to embellish it. It's just what's in the Bible. Saul is jealous of David, and he really doesn't like him having the position he's in, because David's anointed. He's anointed for battle. So there's all these songs that come up. Saul's killed his thousands. David has killed his tens of thousands. He probably hasn't killed tens of thousands. They're probably blowing out the song for artistic purposes a little bit. But they're recognizing him as that. And Saul is really threatened. Even though Saul has promised his daughter marriage, he makes him give him a dowry. And the dowry is 100 foreskins of Philistines, of the Philistines. So that's the end of a man's penis. Now, could you imagine David going up and saying, "Hey, Mr. Philistine, I need to get 100 foreskins. Would you mind donating your foreskin to me?" Right, that's not going to happen, right? David figures out, well, maybe Saul's asking me to convert, make 100 converts to Judaism. That's going to be a lot harder. It'd be much easier for me to just kill them and then just take their skin. And David says, he said 100, I'm going to do more than 100. Brings more than 100. He's a warrior. This is what he does. And Israel takes off under his leadership and drives him higher and higher. Now, when David has his worst moments, one of his worst moments, he has an adulterous affair, it says in 2 Samuel 11:1, it says, at a time when kings go off to war, David stayed at home. That's significant because all kings would have to go to war in the springtime, because in the wintertime you have all the raiders and the marauders from neighboring territories. They come and encroach on your land. And then in springtime, you have to go and you have to push them all off your land. This is what kings do. You got to wait till spring comes, till the ground dries up, so the chariot wheels can go over it. This is what kings do. And David doesn't go. He's anointed to be a warrior. And in the moment where he's supposed to be a warrior, he does not go. And now idle times are sinful times. And David sees, he actually conspires, I think, ahead of time, that woman Bathsheba, I'm going to choose instead to stay behind with her because I see her on the top of my roof. I see her, I'm going to do a little vo-de-o-do-do, and that's what happens, and this downward spiral goes and takes place. But his problem comes when he's out of his anointing. I think for me, this is why I've had such a hard time over the last 2 or 3 years. My anointing is in the area of mobilizing people. That's what I do. I mobilize people. I do that best. It's what gives me life. 8:30 yesterday, when I got a call or a text like, "Hey, we might want to do this prayer service. Maybe we want to do that thing. Should we do this prayer service?" My initial thought was, "Man, I got our stuff to do today. This is like a curveball in my day." And then immediately next, I said, "No, this is exactly what you do really well. You mobilize people and make changes and go." So, great, let's do it. Let's make that happen. That's part of the mobilizing. It's beautiful. I meet with the 3 nonprofits that have come out of Crossroads over the last however many years: Undivided, CityLink, and Ocean. I meet with them every quarter. Started to do that this year, just to build into them, because I want to mobilize them. I want to help them. I want to encourage them any way that I can. And so my problem over the last 3 years, it was really beautiful at the beginning of COVID. I could mobilize our church to think about not being in a building. It was really fun to mobilize Crossroads and say, "Hey, let's break the old paradigms." The beginning days of COVID were incredibly, incredibly invigorating for me. And then just routine set up, and you can't mobilize or anything. You're not going on offense, and it's constant defense. "Well, we can't do this. Can we do this instead? Well, we got to do this. We got to say." It was 2 years of defense. It was just, it ground me down to a pulp. I'm not defense. I'm not. I can play defense for a little period of time, but man, when it's years, the anointing, I lose the anointing. I lose it. It's gone. I lose connection with God, because that's what he's created me to do. Do you know where you connect with God? Like, what is it? What's that thing? It could be anything. It could be numbers, work with numbers. It could be giving people around empathy and compassion. It could be teaching. It could be studying. It could be you may have an anointing on you with children. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, the sooner you find out what that anointing is, the easier your life is going to be. I don't want to work on weaknesses. I don't want to work on weaknesses in my life. Instead, what I want to do is I want to overwhelm my weaknesses. Like, for instance, I suck at planning. suck. I've always sucked, and I'm committed to always suck at planning. And my daughter, who's a better planner than me, Lena, she gets very frustrated. In our family, I'm an awful planner. Awful planner. I'll do great things with family, but it's always last minute, and then people can't show up. Well, tough. Sorry. Didn't get the idea until last minute. I could have been better planned. I'm sorry I wasn't better planned. I suck at planning. That's why I don't lead any meetings. That would require planning. What should be on the agenda? What kind of supporting material should I have? I am awful at planning. And you got to hear me. I am committed to not get any better at planning. Because that energy I would spend on planning would be energy I couldn't spend on offense. Energy I couldn't spend on teaching. Now, I have to have a baseline effectiveness. I got to know when meetings are and show up on time. I've got to be able to pay my bills in time or figure out a system. So I'm not saying it's a card to just be a sloth in life. But what I'm saying is when you know what your anointing is, what you can do is you can create a big enough wave to overcome all the divots, fill in all the divots around you. If you're just trying to be an evenly balanced person, do all the right, nice, right little things, won't work. It won't work. You got to find out what is your anointing. What is the thing that you connect with God and you can do it easily and you do it really, really well and put as much of your energy there to just overwhelm your weaknesses and the problems you have in your life.
Flying K Ranch. Today's episode is brought to you by them because I believe they're producing some of the most mouth-watering, healthy burgers, steaks, roasts I've ever had. They're in Findlay, Ohio. Flying K raises their beef with no hormones or antibiotics, so you know you're getting the most natural product. It's a family business, partnering with state and national certification boards to ensure both cattle and customers are happy. You can find out more, place your orders at Flying K. KRanchAngus.com. That's Flying KRanchAngus.com. I'm liking it a lot. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last 2 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions, at home, on a hunting trip, camping off my motorcycle, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to get moving. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I like to have it in the morning. I have a 12 ounce of water, so right off the bat, I'm helping my hydration every single morning. This is the one product, if I had to recommend one, I'd recommend this one to elevate your health. It's AG1, and that's why I partnered with them for 2 years. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/aggressive life. That's drinkag1.com/aggressive life. Get yourself some.
Second thing, your anointing impacts who's on your team and what they do. Anointing impacts who's on your team and what they do. Two interesting people on David's team, two groups of people. One group of people was his mighty men. Mighty men. Let me tell you what you don't need in your anointing. You don't need somebody around you who believes it's their job to give you the truth. Who believes it's their job to keep you humble. Who believes it's their job to keep your head from expanding. You don't need people like that in your team. You don't need people in your team who believe it's their job to give you a dose of reality from time to time. That's not what you need. You need two types of people in your life. The first is, David had his mighty men. What was his mighty men were people who were like him, who were able to kill things really, really well. And meaning he needs people around him who just understand him. We can dream something and they don't immediately judge him for it. Because you may have an anointing. Let's say you have an anointing for the brokenhearted and loving on people. There are people who will judge you for that. Like you're not a big enough visionary. You're not thinking about, you know, taking XYZ later. You're not. You need people around you who's like, I know, I get it. Broken people. Yeah, we need to just pour into them. You need people around you. You need people around you, if your thing is numbers, who don't judge you because you could look at everything through a numerical Excel spreadsheet. Just the way you operate. And they just, you feel that. And I need people around me who are like, there's a dream. They go, great. It's a great idea. Yeah. Let's do it. You need people around you who unequivocally support you. That doesn't mean you're unequivocally right. You're not, but they unequivocally support you. They get you. They always give you the benefit of the doubt. The second people you need around you are people around you who are different than you. Now, this is Nathan. Nathan is the prophet. He's the prophet. And we've done a good job here at Crossroads redefining or re-explaining prophecy is encouragement instead of my ability to tell you what I don't like God doing in your life and then say, thus saith the Lord. We've done a good job doing that here. But there's a cue as to why that's probably true in the relationship between Nathan, who is the prophet, who calls David out on his sin. I'm not saying you have yes men and women around you. I'm not saying you don't hear the truth. I'm not saying you don't hear contrary opinions. David definitely hears a contrary opinion because Nathan, the prophet, is the one who goes to him and says, you're the man, you had the adulterous affair, you killed Uriah. So he's got people around him like that. That's very, very important. You have to have people around you who do give you the truth. But Nathan didn't believe that was his job. You might say, well, why do you say that? Well, it's because when Nathan heard David has this vision, said, hey, I want to build a temple. I'm going to build this temple. Everybody else has a temple. I'm going to find paneled houses, and so are other people. We need to have a temple for the living God. He goes to Nathan and says, what do you think about this? Nathan's initial response, what do you think Nathan does? Nathan doesn't have to pray about it, by the way. He doesn't pray about it. This is a holy prophet of God who's never wrong, who's anointed to be a prophet. David says, what do you think about the vision? And Nathan goes, I think whatever God's put in your heart, you just do it. Just go do it. That's Nathan said, I support you. Great. I sounded like a good idea. Then later, as Nathan's praying, God tells him, basically, no, David isn't supposed to be a builder of things. He's a killer of things. He's a warrior. I don't want him losing his focus on this inanimate object over here is building. He needs to be a warrior. And then Nathan comes back and says, no, you know what? It's not you. You can't do it. And then David listens to him. But there's something again in there where we need to have people around us who support us, who are different than us, who are like us, who support us, and will tell the truth to us. But anytime someone believes that's their role to tell you the truth, that person needs to be off your team. Because that person is just... My anointing is to tell authority that they're wrong. No, that's never anointing. Never anointing. But find somebody to do this. Last one, and we'll finish with this. Anointing actually drives us to worship God more. That's the thing. When you have an anointing, you know your anointing, it doesn't cause you to be puffed up. It actually causes you to be driven down low. Because you see things that God uses you for that you go, that was really God. That wasn't me. That wasn't my skills. That wasn't my powers that I've honed by going to school or practicing these years. That was God. And we see David at his best when he's hiding from Saul. Saul is chasing him. Saul is trying to kill him. David is hiding out with his mighty men. And it's an amazing story. He's with his mighty men, and he's just kind of talking. They're hungry, they're thirsty. All the perks that David used to have before when he was kind of in the palace, those are gone. And David just goes, "Oh man, the water from that well, the city of David. I wish I could have that. That would be just that'd be awesome." So these mighty men hear him, and these mighty men are like manly men. And they get really geek out on a new challenge, a new physical challenge, because that's what this kind of a band of anointed people are, a physical challenge. Like, dude, I wonder if we can go 25 miles away from where we are right now. I wonder if we can get water and carry water back. Couldn't even be able to carry our weapons. We're going to have to carry water, the most heavy and awkward object to carry, because it sloshes and it's compacted. And they're like talking, do you think we can do that? I think we see what I don't know. Sounds fun. Let's try. So they do. They sneak behind enemy lines. They get this water. They bring it back to him. And they give it to David. And I'll read you what it says. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15. David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." And then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried and brought it to David, but he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord, and he said, "Far be it from me, Lord." He takes this water that he recognizes is a massive sacrifice that his friends have given him. They sacrificed their lives. He takes and goes, "Can't have this." Just pours it out right in front of him. Which you might think that those guys would say, "Dude, we sacrificed our lives for you. And now it's there in the dirt." That's not what they do. I don't believe that's what they do. They go, "That's why I follow you. Because you worship God. You don't worship your perks. You don't worship your position. You don't get off on having people do things that you tell them to do. You worship God." And we just saw it right there. And that the people you have on your team have got to know that you're a worshiper of God. Not to put on a show, but you've got to actually be that, and your people need to be inspired by that. Not in staff, but in church, all over the place. This is what I've been thinking these days because, you know, we're going back on offense. It's fun. It's real. It's going to be a very, very, very fun year in ministry. It is. It's going to be for me anyway. Hope it's going to be for you. I hope you're up for a year of offense because that's when we've been at our best. Vicky likes it. Go ahead, Vicky. You know. That's when we've been at our best, and we've been able to be at that. We've been able to be like that by the way for the last year, which is why we're growing and things are going really well. But I thought, boy, it'd be really good just to let you guys know what drives us and what it is. I believe it's an anointing to be reaching people, to be growing people, to be trying new things, to be going forward. It's anointing. So whenever we are criticized because we're not safe enough or because people don't understand us, because why is Crossroads doing that? It's always because they don't understand the anointing I think God has on our church as a whole. And I think that started with why God maybe called me to Cincinnati all those years ago. You don't need to be like me, and please do not be like me. We've got mighty men around here, but we also got Nathans around here who are different than me and compliment me. You just need to know that's where we're going, and you need to know what your anointing is. If you have one, discover it, foster it. I assume everyone has one. I don't know. I'm not you. I assume everyone has something that they're uniquely fruitful in and they can do all day long. And then if you structure your ministry around that, you'll see a really great ministry year. All right. God, thank you for the truth that you have in the Bible and how helpful it is and how generous you are with me and with us to think about us and to use us as you have. We want to be used more this year. We want to be pushing this year. We want to see fruit this year. We want to have people that get that and have that vision. You are good, 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 good God. And we want to pour out our life, pour out our water to you this year. And I pray these things according to the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and live events over at briantome.com. My new books, a repackaged edition of The 5 Marks of a Man, and a brand new 5 Marks of a Man tactical guide are open right now on Amazon. If you haven't yet, leave this podcast a rating and review. It really helps get the show in front of new listeners. And if you want to connect, find me on Instagram at Brian Tome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.